I wanted to add a reading to this morning. It's actually an epistle reading from the book of Revelation. It is going to be out of Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 9 through verses 17. It's found on page 1076, so let us listen to God's word for us. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no man could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood round the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and whence have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night within his temple. And he who sits upon the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, verses 32 through 44, and it is found on page 935 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. "Then Mary, when she came where Jesus was and saw him, fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' And they said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. So the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?' Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days.' And Jesus said to her, 'Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but I have said this on account of the people standing by, that they may believe that thou didst send me.' When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out!' And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with bandages, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" It's the word of the Lord. Jesus wept. It's probably the shortest verse in all of the Bible. Just two little words, but words packed with so much spiritual and emotional power. Jesus, we are told, wept. Wept for his friend Lazarus. We've all seen a good many portraits of Jesus, the healing Jesus we have seen, the teaching Jesus, the suffering Jesus, the gentle Jesus, the authoritative Jesus. But this morning we glimpse the weeping Jesus, the Jesus who weeps. should come as no surprise, of course, if we take seriously what our doctrines profess, that Jesus was not only fully divine, but he was also fully human. And to be human is to weep. And that's what Jesus does this morning. He weeps. This is one of three instances in the Bible where we are shown Jesus weeping. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus weeps over Jerusalem because he can see how the interlocking passions of Israel are drawing them closer and closer to the disaster that will eventually befall the city a few decades after Jesus' death and resurrection. And again, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus weeps as he thinks about the brokenness of the world and as he thinks about his own impending death. And now here this morning, Jesus once again weeps because someone who was close to him, someone who he loved, someone who he cherished, has suddenly died and gone the way of all flesh. And so Jesus weeps, just like we weep whenever someone who was close to us, someone who we love and cherish, dies. To be human is to weep. Today, of course, is All Saints Sunday. This is the Sunday when we stop to remember all of those faithful and dedicated servants who have fought the good fight and who have now gone to be with the Lord. We read out the names earlier, some of those who have passed in 2018, as we do every year. And, of course, they are more than just names. They are people who were close to us, people whom we loved and cherished, people whose passing has left a deep hole in our hearts. Because that's what death does to those of us who survive the loss of a loved one. It creates a void, a sense of loss deep down inside of us. I was reading something the other day about a loss that a father sustained in Yemen. His young son, 6 years old, Fareed Shawki, was out playing hide-and-seek and was killed by a bomb. There's a terrible civil war going on there. The boy survived the immediate blast but was taken to a hospital, and all the boy could say was, "Please don't bury me." He was too young to know anything significant about life and death, but he knew that people, when they die, are buried, and that's what he did not want. "Please don't bury me." His father was in the room as the doctors were attending to the boy, and his father sought to assure him that he would not be buried, but the doctors could not save him, and the boy eventually died and was buried. But the father could not stand to be there at the funeral. He could only stand some distance away to observe the funeral. And one could only imagine the sense of loss and hurt and pain that that father experienced. John Irving, in one of his novels, A Prayer for Owen Meany, writes, "When someone you love dies, you don't lose her all at once. You lose her in pieces over a long time. The way the mail stops coming and her scent fades from the pillows, and even from the clothes in her closet and drawers, gradually you accumulate the parts of her that are gone. And just when the day comes when there's a particular missing part that overwhelms you with the feeling that she's gone, there comes another day and another specifically missing part." I found some old photos the other day. It's surprising what you can find when you're rooting around here in the church, and I found some old photos, not terribly old. There were photos that were taken about 30 years ago. In fact, I recognize some of you in those photos. Your hair was a bit darker, and there was a little less of you around the middle, but it was still you. Some of you were bowling, and Some of you were all costumed up. It looked to be some kind of play that you were putting on, but it was you, and I recognized you. There were other people in the picture as well, people who have long since moved on. Some of them have moved on to other places and other things, but some of them have moved on to be with the Lord. They've gone to comprise what the book of Hebrews calls that great cloud of witnesses. And you know the people of whom I speak. They were fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, friends, all of them saints, including a picture of our beloved Ruth James, who passed away just a few days ago. And even though you know that they are now with the Lord, and even though you know that they are not lost to you forever, that one day we will all be united with our loved ones at the blessed resurrection, I'm sure that you still can't help but to weep in your hearts whenever you remember them. Because weeping is an act of love. It is an act of protest and resistance against the power of death and all that portends death. And to be human is to weep. And this morning, Jesus weeps. He weeps with us. He weeps with the world. He weeps with all of those who grieve loss. He weeps. There are a couple of other names I wanted to add to our necrology list. They're not necessarily people who belong to this church, but they were saints nonetheless. One of them was Maurice Stillard, a father and grandfather. The other was Vicki Lee Jones, a mother and grandmother. They were both beloved saints of God. Maurice led a Bible class every month where he came together to discuss how one should live as Christians. And Vicki was not only a member of the choir at her church, but she also volunteered for the youth and women's ministry at her church. Neither Vicki nor Maurice knew each other, but they just happened to one day decide to go to the same grocery store, maybe to pick up an item that they had forgotten, maybe to pick up something as they were preparing their meal, who knows, one of those routine stops to the grocery store that we all make. But on this particular day, they were met by a man who had hatred in his heart and death on his mind. And they were both shot, killed there at the grocery store. Apparently their assailant had went to a church first. He had stopped by a church hoping to get in, maybe to wreak havoc there, but the doors were locked. The 100 and some people who were there at the church for Bible study had already left, so he had came about an hour late and could not get in. But he went instead to the grocery store. And there he carried out his murderous intentions. And Jesus weeps. Of course, we as a country are still dealing with the 11 people who were gunned down in a synagogue last week as well. And I don't think it's a coincidence that both of these assailants targeted houses of worship, because houses of worship are still the places in our society that celebrate life, that worship the God of life. And if death can make its statement there, then it can make its statement in a way that would seek to bring home to the whole world that death reigns supreme. But it happened in a house of worship, a synagogue, a place where people went to feel safe, a place where people went year after year, a place where people went to worship God. And there, a person sought to go to carry out their murderous intent. And Jesus weeps. In the book of Revelation that I read earlier, that passage where the saints are there near the throne room, and one of the elders asked John, "Who are these people?" And John says, I have no idea, I don't know. And we are told that they are people who've gone through the great ordeal, people who've gone through violence, people who have worshiped the one true God and have suffered violence. Vicky and Maurice and the 11 people who were gunned down in the synagogue are all a part of that great congregation that John the Seer saw. And Jesus weeps. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, we are not afraid to confront death. We are not afraid as Christians to look death in the eye and confront death. But that doesn't mean that we don't take death seriously. Jesus certainly takes death seriously. The text says that Jesus was deeply moved and troubled. And the actual Greek word connotes a sense of anger and outrage. Jesus is angry. He is angry at the power of death. He is angry that death has defaced God's good creation. He is angry that death has robbed a loved one from someone that they loved. He is angry. Angry of the power of death and the power that death has over our hearts and our imaginations. He's angry at the deals that we make with death. And we make deals with death. Guns and violence are part of the deals that we've made with death. Racism is a part of the deal that we make with death. Indifference towards others is a part of the deal that we've made with death. We make our deals with death. And Jesus weeps. He weeps. He weeps over the power of death in our lives and the power that death has over our hearts and our imaginations. But Jesus' tears are not just tears of love. They're not just tears of solidarity. But they are tears of anger and outrage. They are tears that are a prelude to Jesus not only weeping, but Jesus undergoing to destroy the power of death in the world and in our lives. Jesus says earlier, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. All those who believe in me will live. For all those who believe in me, death is not the last word. I am the resurrection and the life." And so Jesus calls Lazarus out of the grave. "Lazarus, come forth." Calls Lazarus out of the tomb. Calls Lazarus out of death. Power of death. "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus comes forth from the tomb. I'm always intrigued by what Lazarus' sister says when Jesus first calls him forth. Lord, she says, when Jesus has unrolled the tomb, Lord, there's going to be an odor. I like the King James Version. It says, Lord, he stinks. He's going to stink. That's what death does. Death stinks. Death is horrible. Death is not God's intention for any of us. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth, called out of the grave. And Jesus continues to call each and every one of us too, out of the tombs, out of the grave, out of the powers of death that we have given ourselves over to. That's what it means to be a saint. A saint is someone who has been called out of the power of death. A saint is someone who is called to proclaim and to bear witness to the power of life in the midst of a world that is caught in the grip of death. I was reading this week about two saints, actually three, when the assailant who killed the 11 people at the synagogue was taken to a hospital. He was wounded with a shootout with the police, but he was taken to the hospital. And there in the hospital, he continued to yell, "Death to all Jews! I'm going to kill all Jews!" In the hospital that he was taken to, the people who operated on him and attended to him, three of them, two doctors and a nurse, were Jewish. As he was there hollering, "Death to Jews," but they attended to him and cared for him and addressed his wounds, because they believed in life and they worshiped a God of life. Jesus calls us out of the death. He calls us out of the deathfulness of the world. He calls us to be people of love and peace and justice in a world caught in the grips of hatred. We have summoned those demons forth in our world, demons of hatred. But Jesus has called us to be saints. It doesn't mean that we will not weep. We will continue to weep with the world. We will continue to weep with all of those who are broken. We will continue to weep with all of those who grieve. But we don't grieve and weep as those who have no hope. We know that Jesus has already overcome the forces and powers of death. And because of that, we've been set free to go out into the world and to proclaim the God of life. And that's what it means to be a saint. And so on this All Saints Day, this All Saints Sunday, we celebrate with all of those saints who have kept the faith, all of those saints who have already bore witness in the midst of our world, all of those saints who have been called out of death, all of those saints who in their very lives have bore witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are with us still, encouraging us to go out into the world and bear that same witness, to be people of love, people of grace, people of compassion in a world caught in the grip of death. Jesus says, unbind him. Let him go. And that's our charge too, to go out in the midst of a world and to help unbind it and to free it from the power of death. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you this morning on this All Saints Day, knowing that you have already liberated our world from the grip and power of death. We come to you as people who sometimes weep over our own loss, weep over what happens in the world, weep over the suffering that we see around us. But you've also called us to be people who proclaim life in the midst of death. You've called us to be people who help to liberate our world caught in the grips of death. You've called us all to be saints. We ask that you help us to live into that vocation that you have given us and that identity that you have given us. Help us to live as your saints, as your people. Help us to proclaim the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And help us to proclaim in the midst of a world that has made its deals with death that you have called us to be people of life, abundant life, everlasting life, eternal life. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.